this evening. Hope someone's here. Blessed is the Lord. Say these words together with me. Our Father,
in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation found in the written word. As we hear the word concerning
being a Christian every day, our heart and our mind are receptive to your word, to walk in the light of your word and your word alone. Every day we are Christians in conduct, in speech, because it is the product of our spirit. Because this is our nature to be Christians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive as we ought to receive. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at being a Christian every day.
Being a Christian every day. Being a Christian every day.
Amen. So we said, a believer ought to live the Christian life. Right?
Now, what is Christian? We said to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. Now, we said, I'm just taking you through a few things we said.
We said, they were first called Christians at Antioch, and I've seen some people put out that as an argument. I have been in that side of the divide, so that's why I can talk about it.
Wait, they are Christians. Christian is the name of mockery. Yeah.
And we saw that from scriptures that they were mocked in Antioch and called Christians. But the people at Antioch saw something, hallelujah, that made them call them Christians. And I said that was not the first time they implied them to be Christians.
Right?
We saw in Acts 5 how that they said to them that they filled the land with their doctrine. You see that?
With their doctrine. And when you talk about doctrine, doctrine is encompassing, deals with their teaching and also their lifestyle.
Hallelujah. Bible also said that they took note of Peter and John, seeing that they were learned, but they took note that they've been with Jesus. Did you see that? They've been with Jesus, so that means they saw something that was in their lifestyle that was related to what they taught concerning Christ. Did you see that? Amen. So that was what the same thing to that the church at Antioch saw and called them Christians. Where you have the word Christanos, which is Christ alike. Did you see that? So that means they saw something in their conduct that was the same with what they preached concerning the Christos. Hope you're following that. So they called them Christians. And we said this is not the first time. And we also saw that they also went by the name Christian because they were Christ alive. Hallelujah. We saw Peter. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. He said that no one suffer as a murderer or as a thief. But he says, but if you suffer for being a Christian.
Did you see that? Amen. Did you see that? Christian. So it's very vital.
And I said that was not the first time God would do something. Men would give me the name and God would just have to accommodate it. Hallelujah. What are you following?
So there's nothing wrong being called Christians. That is very vital. So there's nothing wrong if you are called a Christian. Hallelujah. Because it's a lifestyle that the world will see and say, oh, they are living just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So we said,
I'm going to take out some of the things because of time. I want to get into our teaching. I'll take out some of the introduction that you have to do from how you read your Bible.
Very, very vital, but we'll continue that on Sunday because of time. I need to cover up a lot of things. So we said, the life of a believer, right, is a life of consistency. First of all, we said to be born again happened in an instant. To be born again happens once. The day you believe, you are saved. When a man believes, he's born again. But to be a disciple is not what happened in an instant. A disciple is not, I'm just born again and then I'm automatically a disciple. I'm now, no. Discipleship is what you give yourself to. Discipleship is a process. That's why in Matthew 20, Jesus will say, make disciples. Disciples are who you make. You make disciples. Hallelujah. It's a process. Now, it's not a process that has an end. So there's no end or graduation to discipleship.
You know, some people have done discipleship class where they graduated and walk down.
No. In discipleship, you don't graduate. You're a disciple. A disciple is that word matitio.
One who is enrolled in a citadel of learning where he is taught,
right,
to becoming a scholar.
And becoming a scholar means he will be found doing the same thing he was taught to do.
Amen.
Now we found out that it's not something that you graduate from.
If you've watched Paul and Timothy, Timothy was already a pastor's pastor. Timothy is like an HCP pastor, for example, an HCP pastor. Yet, he's called Paul's disciple.
In 2 Timothy 2, as I often love to read, he will say, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. This is that. So Timothy will have faithful men who are pastors under him that he will have to teach the same way he has been taught. Did you see that? Amen. It's the way he has been taught. So it's very vital. Discipleship is not what you graduate from. What about discipleship? Is a totality of the Christian life. So discipleship is what we are giving to.
This is that
we are giving to discipleship, to be discipled. Are you following me? Amen. We are giving to be discipled. So in Acts 2:42, we say the life of a disciple, Acts 2:42, that we say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now when he said they continue steadfastly, that word to continue is the word that implies that they stayed consistent.
They stayed consistent
in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed consistent. So we said the life of a disciple is a life of consistency. It's a life of consistency. That there's nothing called an expert Christian. There's nothing like an expert believer.
You see, someone has been in ministry for years and he's an expert. No. We are not experts in anything.
No.
We're not experts when it comes to our Christian life or conduct. No.
Hallelujah.
They are not experts in the things of the Spirit. Rather, we have men who are consistent. So they look as if they are experts, no, but they are actually consistent people.
Amen.
Consistent people. Amen.
So if there's anything like being expert, it is built on consistency.
If there's any word like expert as a Christian, it is a word built on consistency.
Consistency.
Being a believer, being a Christian every day.
While looking at simple devotion. Done with simple devotion today, time permits, so that we'll get to see fasting.
Amen. 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 The life of a believer is built on consistency.
And that word consistency is what will have the word devotion. Devotion. Amen. We'll have the word devotion. Devotion. And the word devotion is a consistent practice of our faith and belief. When you hear devotion simply means a consistent practice of our faith and belief. Hallelujah. Of our faith and belief. So last week we said the opposite of devotion is what? Distraction. Did you remember that? We said the opposite of devotion is distraction. Distraction. Especially in a world where we live in like today, that is full of distraction and noise. A lot of noise. Distraction. The believer must stay being consistent. The believer must do what? Stay being consistent.
The believer must stay consistent.
Hallelujah. Something we're going to see. That consistency and distraction is your choice. Hallelujah. It's a choice. In Luke 10, when we were last week, let's pick points or few things between Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Let's pick a few things. Mary and Martha. Luke 10. Verse 38. Now he said, now Jesus, it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So, when he said Martha received him into her house, in the Jewish culture, it's usually rare. A woman does not have property. It's actually a man that owns property. So for Martha to have a house, it shows that she was wealthy. Isn't that? Just to show that she's wealthy. So that's just by the wayside. And she had a sister named Mary, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Did that? He sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Now what did he say? But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to come help me. Hallelujah.
Amen. What was she said? She said she was cumbered with much serving.
Now that word cumbered is where we have the word perispao, which means to walk about. Or that word implies to be dragged around with many things. To be dragged around with many things. Glory to God. That means she was distracted.
Amen. She was dragged around. Several other things had her attention. She had the word by the word. I mean, she had the word by the wayside. So that means there was it's
very likely, right? It was very likely that she was hearing Jesus while cooking. Amen. You see that? It was very likely that Jesus was teaching. The Bible says Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And I said that word sits at Jesus' feet is to show she gave her attention to Jesus. Was to show she's a disciple, she was listening well. Right? She was listening well, she gave attention to Jesus, and was found learning. But Martha was learning by the wayside. That means she could have been hearing Jesus from the sitting room, and then she's trying to prepare food. Call it today, they now find a new word for it. She was multitasking. Today, if you have your CV and you cannot multitask, nobody wants to hire you. She was multitasking, hearing Jesus by the wayside. Amen? Hearing Jesus by the wayside. CEO is laughing because he will not explain why I cannot multitask. Amen? But you don't need such kind of qualities when you come to the things of the Spirit. Amen? Your attention, you can't have a divided attention. Glory to God. But let's take a look at Martha a bit. What she was doing, was it not logical? Jesus visited him, and she was cooking for Jesus. She wasn't cooking for anybody, was it not for Jesus she's cooking? He said, my sister has left me all alone to do the service. Did you see that? That means the food she was cooking was for Jesus. So, it sounds logical. What? Legit, as we call it today, sounds legit. This is not just to cook for you. Let me. Okay, Lord, just the teaching, I'll be hearing you. It's your food I'm making. Yeah. But you know, Jesus said, look at verse 41. It says, Martha. She came to complain to Jesus. Jesus said, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now what that destruction did for her was to make her careful. That's the word we have was to be anxious. Amen. That word Mary Mano, to be anxious. She became anxious and troubled over not wanting to do many things. You see that? How to serve, how to put food. Glory to God. She became anxious. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said she was troubled over many things. Amen. Amen. So, it's very vital that we see that she was trying to do in the senses what is logical and legit. Ensure that Jesus is served well. But you know, doing the right thing at the wrong time doesn't make you right. She was doing the right thing at the wrong time. That was time to hear the word. You see that? That was time to hear the word. Glory to God. I remember one time, Pastor Shep was sharing with us how him and his friends, they were studying morning till evening, so they were not hungry. So because of that time of sharing the word, right? You go and cook here. Well, no, you go and cook here. No, you know, today we know who to send. We just say, wisdom, go and cook here. Because it's ministry. Amen? They go and cook here. So they were not passing about themselves. So one of them just stood up. Because of the intensity of what they were studying, that one just carried the yam without cutting it, without peeling it back. He just cooked everything. Amen? Amen? Because your mind was doing the work. You remember? Amen? Just put everything in so that, he will cut the yam. Amen? He will, like that. So sometimes we get on doing the right thing at the wrong time. And we're just in our head, God understands. No. What is wrong? I mean, doing the right at the wrong time is wrong. So what is wrong is wrong. Amen? Amen? What is wrong is wrong. You know, today we cannot put it like, say you want Jesus to be hungry, say, or some people put it today logically. Say you want me to die. Amen. It looks logical. Say you want me to have orphan. Some people would tell you, I'm an orphan patient too. Believer though. Believer, let's fast. Pastor, I'm an orphan patient. Glory to God. Let me say, all your faith confession has gone to the air. Say, I am an author patient. You, man of the world, I am an author patient. You know, today it sounds good. Oh, you are author patient. That's why you always have it now. Because you are a patient of author. Glory to God. Glory to God. First, watch our words. And at the same time, let us see that things many times can look logical in the natural, but it hampers on your devotion. It becomes a distraction to your devotion. Amen. Just listen to the word and you are studying the word, studying or you are praying, and that mail drops. A phone call is coming in. MD. You know, you've been telling want to pick it. MD. Amen? But that is the devotion. It looks logical. This is thing I want to see. Let me just speak it. You know, it looks logical for you to do. It looks logical. Hallelujah. Amen? But many times, it doesn't deal with our logic. Let's go faster. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So what that shows you is that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, when it comes to my devotion, also, my devotion to the things of God, I must put it first place. God wants it that way. We're going to see that. God wants me to put my devotion to Him first place. Amen? God wants you to put His devotion to Him first place. I know someone who was about to go for a meeting. He had been scheduled for the meeting. He was to come up to preach. And then he got a message that the father is dead. You know, it's legit to just say, the person invited me. Just go to here and say, sorry, I don't think I can take this session. You just say, so don't worry, we understand. You know, that looks logical, right? They don't get quiet. He was all sitting having a wonderful meeting. A wonderful meeting. Then at the end of the meeting, he then told his organizer, the person I invited him, his host, that I lost my dad before I came up. But should have told us, no. That was not necessary then. I came for a meeting. Amen. When it comes to your devotion to God, He wants you to put in first place. Sometimes we like to play a pity party game. Well, somebody will just understand my situation. See, people understand it. But you know, between yourself and God. Between yourself and God. You didn't give me first place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then we have to put God first. Put Him first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something as having him in your priority. Having God in your priority. Having God as your priority. The Bible says she was worried. She was worried. Come back. Hallelujah. Hence you saw her action, her words. Jesus,
you didn't even tell my sister to come and join me to start. Is it not you and Father? Something like that. That's our word. You know, such kind of, you know, she's already distracted and then she's all getting overwhelmed.
She's distracted and getting overwhelmed. What that would do is that it will make her touchy. Sometimes people get too touchy. Amen. Amen. I guess I've lost those in line. Okay. Those online can still hear me. So let's proceed. So we said, so she was distracted, and what that distraction did to her was that it made her worried. Hence what she said. Glory to God. And let's see what Jesus said in verse 42. That's what it says. He says, but look at what Jesus said, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part. Now, I told us last week, I said when he said one thing is needful, it doesn't mean number one thing, just one singular thing. No. When he used the word one thing is needful, is that word in the Greek that means what is needful is a little thing. What is required is little. That's what it means. It's little. And that little thing that is required is devotion. Devotion. Little thing. Consistency. We say consistency in this little thing rather. Consistency in these little things that is required is what is important. And that consistency means it to be done over and again, repeatedly. You have to do it again and again. What is required is not distraction, but staying with simple truths. Staying with the little things that matter. Things like praying. Things like studying. Things like evangelizing. Discipling. Walking in the Spirit. Simple things, little things. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Little things matter. I told us that growth is not found in wheat, but in death. I heard that from Pastor Shelby. Hallelujah. It's found in death. Death of this simple truth that you know. Amen. You know, whilst it's good to have a hermeneutics of scriptures, go down, it's good, right? But when you are done with all that and you are not found praying, the word of God is not on your lips, bro, you're not growing. Amen. Amen. You don't live in a life of consistency. Glory to God. That is why if you go back, watch since 2018 or 2019, just do an assessment, not 2018, you'll discover on a yearly basis, in our culture to have time where we study the word, we look at do hermeneutics of scripture every year, you'll discover that there are simple truths that I teach every year. Simple truths. Every year. Amen. Like putting the word on your lips. Simple truths. Because you can't outgrow it. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in love. Amen. Every year. Glory to God. Because you need to hear it every day.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So what is required is little. Another example of one just like Mary that wasn't given to destruction will be Samuel. So Mary
decided not to be distracted. Now let's see Samuel.
In 1 Samuel, I don't know if we'll get here, right? Last week. Do you remember? Right? Okay, 1 Samuel. Samuel chapter 2. Now we know the story of Hannah, right?
How she didn't have a child and then she went to pray.
Look at verses 21. Look at something about Samuel. After she prayed and she got a child, verse 21, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. That was after Samuel. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Watch that. So the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now when it says the child Samuel grew before the Lord, what it means there is the fact that the child grew serving the Lord. We're going to see that. He grew serving the Lord. Look at verses 11. Verse 11 of chapter 2 says, and Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and a child, which is Samuel, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Do you see that? He ministered to the Lord before Eli. That means that he grew was that he grew serving the Lord. Did that he was so Samuel was found in the ministry of the Lord. Amen. So that means that word found ministering there, he showed a devotion. Hallelujah. A devotion. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 1 verse 28. Let's see this. Therefore, also, I have let him, this is Hannah speaking, I'll start from verse 27. He says, for this child I pray, and the Lord has given me my petition which I have asked of him. She prayed. Verse 28, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord then. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Samuel was given to serve the Lord. Now, in the face of serving the Lord before Eli, he saw Eli's children that they were wayward. In verses 23 of Samuel 2, 1 Samuel 2, look at verse 3. Verse 23 to 23 says, now Eli was very old and heard all that the sons did unto Israel, how they lay with women women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil doing dealings by all these people. Did you see that? They asked, why did you do this? So they had his children were wayward. Verses 12. Watch this. On top of verse 11, he says, and he, the child, did minister to the Lord before Eli the priest. That's Samuel. 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Did you see that? Did you see that? They did what? They knew not the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He has done something for us, but we're not looking at that today. Amen. Amen. So Belial, when that word Belial, we find it in Judges, but what the writer has done is to do an identification unifier for us there, but we are not looking at that today. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word Belial there, let me just give you an example, is a word used to show that they were not children, they were not given into the service of the Lord. Just a shorthand for it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll read unto verses 7. Okay, let me read verses 17. You can read from verse 13 because of time. Look at verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men were very great, which is Eli's children were very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 18, but Samuel,
did you see that? Did you see Samuel?
But who? But Samuel. There was a but for Samuel. Ministered before the Lord, being a child, gridded with a lenient effort. Hallelujah. So in the face of the atrocities of Eli's children, Samuel didn't change his devotion.
Samuel, was Samuel seeing it? Yes.
But Samuel didn't change his devotion. To make you see that the way to be distracted is by your own will. There will be distractions around. There will be noise around. But you must not be given to the noises. You must not be given to the distractions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So I wrote in my notes, I said, your consistency in serving the Lord is yours to stay at or stay with. Is yours. To be devoted is yours. So you have to stay with your devotion. Distraction is a choice. See, hear me. You cannot stop distraction from moving around. There is always distraction. Jesus didn't pray against distraction. Was there distraction in the days of Jesus? Yes. Was there distraction in the days of the apostles? Yes. Was there distraction in the days of the 39 books? Yes. But you can choose that the distraction, you will not be distracted. Do you see that? You can choose not to be distracted whilst there's distraction around. Hope you're following me. While there's distraction around, you can choose not to be distracted. So, distraction is a choice. Distraction is a what? It's a choice. Hallelujah. But your choice to be consistent is yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's yours. That is why even in 1 Samuel chapter 3, you have said it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his sleep and his eyes began to wax deep that he could not see. The lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was. Samuel lay down to sleep. So, look in fact, if we talk of chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says there was no open vision. Eli did not see vision.
Amen.
Eli didn't see vision. But yet, Samuel ministered to the Lord and he heard the Lord. You see that? Hallelujah. Amen. So that means you cannot blame anyone for your distraction. You cannot. You can't hang it on anybody. And the reason why I'm distracted, the reason why I don't do devotion, why I'm not devoted is because of this person. No! No, 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 no. Amen. You can't hang it on anybody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The believer must be given to the life of devotion. Devotion praying. But we give it to that life of devotion praying. Acts 6 verse 4. Peter will say, but we give ourselves continually, say, to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Remember that? We give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. Ourselves to prayer. In Colossians 4 2, Paul will say, continue in prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2. Say, continue in prayer and watch in the same way thanksgiving. Continue. So we must be devoted to prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Devoted to prayer. In Acts 3 verse 1, he said they went to the temple in the hour of prayer. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Peter went up at the time hour of prayer. Do you know that? So you must be devoted to that life of prayer. In Acts 13, Bible says there were certain prophets and apostles. Look at Acts 13 verse 1. What were they doing? Acts of Apostles chapter 13. It says, now they, in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger and Cyrus and Minion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So in the Holy Ghost with all, in the meeting of prayer, what happened? The Holy Ghost said. You see that?
So that means they had praying time. Hallelujah. They had time devoted to pray. Devoted to pray. In Acts 2:42, they continue stepping in the apostles' doctrine and prayer. So that means there is such a thing as praying. When they said in the apostles' doctrine, it means they saw, I told you, doctrine is both what teaching and what a lifestyle. So they continue the apostles' teaching on prayer and then the lifestyle of the apostles to pray. Amen. 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 So they were devoted to prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word to continue is the word that means to apply yourself. To apply yourself. So they continue praying. To apply yourself. See, why is good to pray while driving? Some of us do that. We are praying while driving. Some people are praying while they are washing plates. Just praying in tongues. It's good to. Just, I'm not saying it's wrong to. Right? But that doesn't take away the fact that you must have a devotion to prayer. Where you will just not wash plates. Where you are not just driving. Where you are just concentrated to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, as I'm teaching, the Lord is correcting us. What are you following me? Amen. The Lord is correcting us. What is correcting us? The will of God. Some of us, we think, oh, it's devotion. You just enter, you are taking your bed. I'll be doing chain prayer. And I'm taking my bed. Because I need to take first bus going to Lagos Island. Oh, Shanda, Shanda, Kroto, Sotoki. And you pour the water, cold water. Oh, Zugroda, Rodobro. Why is it good to pray? But that is not chain prayer. Amen. Me as a pastor, I receive the same correction. So I can correct us. Amen. Amen. For me as a pastor to receive the same correction. Me, is not a lie. I was corrected by the Lord. How much more can I say? I don't have to correct. And that is not devotion. That one you are doing is good. But that is not it though. Amen. So I have to come back again and okay. Have to specifically now fix times to pray. Where I will just leave everything and pray. No, it's time to pray. Hallelujah. And that means you can also make the same mistake. Your pastor made it. And you think, I've seen it. No. Amen. There's such a thing called devotion. Amen. Not see. Also too, it's good to be listening to pastor's message. By the wayside, and then you are doing something. Amen. You how can you be listening to pastor's message and then you are watching a snowball? You know that is demonic. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You are watching. You are listening to message and then you are watching Liverpool. Never walk alone. You are watching a loop. Glory to God. You know what I mean? Why you can be listening to message and then you are trying to wash plates and do some other. Maybe some of us like to take our bed. Some people who like to go to toilet and their phone, so they just listen to message and they are going to toilet. How you have placed God? Amen. And when you are listening to message, you are pulling and you are listening to message. The word is with you. Amen. While you do it, you listen to message everywhere, but there are times you have to carry your paper. Your book and you are taking notes, your phone is switched off, I am listening, I'm devoted to listening. What are following you? Amen. That is different. That's a devotion. Devotion means nothing is coming in between, not even a call. I'm not gonna blink to a call. What if anything happens? See. Put up your phone. Anything I want to happen, let the word scatter. This is my devotion. Amen.
I said it to us on Sunday. I said, let them know you for something. Let them know that this is their time of prayer. Amen. This is something you should be predictable about. We should predict you for something. Everywhere you are like the wind, you are like the wind. So your devotion to you is like the wind. You do one this month, next month, you do it after 6 months. Your devotion is like a wind. Let's predict your time for devotion. Let's go, by this 12, don't come to me, you come to me, you not think. He is praying. What are you hearing me? What are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must be devoted to lifestyle of prayer, lifestyle of studying. Studying. Lifestyle of discipline, man. A lifestyle. Amen? Praying, studying. I'm going to narrow it on these two. Evangelism to is there, but I'm going to narrow this teaching to these two. Praying, studying. What we call quiet time. You see? We don't have quiet time. We have talking time. It's not quiet time. It's homologia time. So how do you read your Bible? See, you know, we're not boring Christians. I'm talking like a Dixon would talk now. We're not boring Christians. Where you're just studying your Bible, it is no, you're just quiet. No, no. As I study the word, you homologia the word. It's called shouting time. So you just carry the word. And we always know the scripture where you want to shout. But when you get to Exodus, you will not shout. When you get to Numbers, so you skip over and now get to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore, no condemnation. What are you talking about? Or then who are in Christ Jesus? Who was not after the flesh, but after the spirit? He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Have been set free. Talking now. Well, there's something called quiet time. Amen. Quiet time means you shut out everything. I'm just quiet studying. I'm just quiet praying. When you're quiet praying, now you're praying and you're humming. No. When I'm quiet, I've shut out everything and I'm praying. Quiet time means my mind is free from noise. My heart is free from noise. There are no distractions around. Sometimes you may want to have your quiet time, maybe prayer. You leave your phone in the sitting room. Put it on flight mode. You know, there's a way you can still see your phone while praying. And then you want to put it on to take time. You put it away. You put it off. You take it far. You are just alone. Amen. You shut. Jesus had such time. We're going to see Jesus. He had such time. When you put people out and go somewhere, Jesus will call it, the Bible calls it, to a solitary place, to a desert place to pray. Amen. Amen. There are no noises in your head. There are no noises in your mind. This is for the Lord. This is service, so I'm telling you. This is service to the Lord. And remember, I said our scepter that we are priests. Right? We are priests. Glory to God. Amen. Priests. So this is service to the Lord. When we pray. Pray. Glory to God. Sometimes you're just there and then you are just thanking God 1 hour, 2 hours. Just praying in tongues, not gathering all your family problems and you are praying family problems. You are shutting your mind all family problems. Shutting your mind and you just want to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So quiet time is very important. And quiet time is not about having it alone anytime, but also when you have quiet time is also very vital. Why is good to have your quiet time at different times is also good, but when you have it also is very important. Hallelujah. When you have it is important. Glory to God. That means I can have 4 quiet times in a day. But the when initial is very important. I call it the initial time, or the first time. Put it like this. When you have it, it's important. And that's when deals with having it very early in the morning. Say, Pastor, in the morning.
See, those of us who grew up in homes where our parents would gather us to pray, you don't know how valuable that thing is. Sometimes they didn't even know why they were doing it. They just saw people do it, so they took days to just did it. Right? My mom will pray early in the morning and late in the night. But I will pray late in the night if it's on Friday night. We'll pray late in the night at 2 a.m. Now wake up by 5 a.m. on Saturday and do morning devotion till like 9 a.m. We didn't know. In fact, I was one of the people that grumbled. Well, you know you can't say this is murmuring. Yeah? You know, when you don't grow up, you know, you, I just have to do that. It is to murmur like that. Every murmur like that. You slap. But you know, murmuring has not advanced. When you don't grow, you know, grow up memory. For example, let me use this man of God. Sir, it's time to pray. Can't you see? Can't you see I'm busy? It's memory. He's grown up. Yeah. I'm busy. Now he might not like this again. Can't you see I'm busy? Normally. So is it that? Yeah? Is that? Well, we're not dealing with that. But it's just very simple. Amen. But we pray like that. But we don't know the importance of it. I told us when I knew the importance of that, that was in the university. When I was already used to waking up very early, so I just wake up very early and I just walk out to fresh. I just walk out because I was not sitting in that vacuum. So I walked out and went out to pray. I also saw people praying in the morning. I said, oh, I'm not alone. So we just prayed. So that became a norm. Then I added the night to it because that was how I was trained, morning and night. Then I added the night to it. So I would go and pray in the night and then wake up in the morning and pray. How about that? How about that? Amen. Very simple. And our strength. But I'm grumbling. In the morning, I will rise and praise the Lord. Is it? I will rise and praise the Lord. I can praise the Lord all the time. That's grumbling. I can praise the Lord all the time. We are children of God. And we have praise in our mouths. So it's not just in the morning. Anytime is the time to praise the Lord. Amen. Adonai, we worship you. Those are songs that are, those are morning songs. Son of God, you are so good. So my mom was about to start the song in the sitting room. You are expected to hear the song and wake up by the Holy Ghost. Or you will wake up by another spirit. And that spirit is the spirit of the hand. Amen. By another spirit. Almighty God, hallowed be thy name. Your dominion is forevermore. Oh Lord, you have been so good. You are so good. Oh Lord, you have been so good. You are so good to me. She's walking into the room. Me in the ready room. So, oh Lord, you have been so good. You are so good to me. Are you sitting up? You are so good. Now, if you block it, you block it. Oh Lord, you are excellent. So when you come in, we already know, once you are done with Adonai, the Lord, so we are already standing. As you get through, we are already getting to the door. So that anger is coming back. Yeah. Because when the knock will go smooth serious. Everybody will see it. Yeah.
the other one gets to the city room and I think, I have seen the Lord's goodness. If you are crying, you will see the Lord's goodness. I cry. He's so sweet. And come back. Eh? Are you crying to the Lord? I have seen the Lord's goodness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But it helps. Some of us, you know, some of us like me, we're grumbling, fighting it. What is this? Is it anywhere right now? What man? Young guy there. What's this? One day my mom was singing, I will enter his gate. I was not singing. So like, that's why you say, I said, no. How will I enter his gate? No, that day. Let me tell you what happened. She now said I should teach. I should read the devotion. Then she now asked me, why am I not singing? I said, I'm not entering to his gate. I'm not entering. No. He said, He said, I have entered. I have come into his gate. But my mom was surprised. I said, see, the Bible says in John 3, it says the man be born again, can also say the man be born of the Holy Ghost. He said, I have been born of the Holy Ghost. I speak with tongues. I have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was there, yes. So I have evidence of trying to enter into his kingdom. So I don't think I will enter his gate. I think I have entered his gate, which has given in my heart. I have entered his court with praise, and I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. One of us said, I should teach her. That was how we stopped singing and we entered home. I have entered. We have entered. But that was rebellion. No matter how nice I have to change the song, I was rebelling against the pastor. Amen. Go. At that point, they did not say, I'm trading my sickness. I just sing that song at home. I've laid them down for it. I said, no. I said, mommy, you know, you're a trader. Well, you know me. I've traded my sickness. See, on the cross, I traded it. See, it was rebellion. I traded it on the cross. So I don't think I'm trading. I think I've traded my sickness. I don't have sickness. I've traded my shame. We are just not liking the devotion, so we just want to just stop it. But we couldn't stop it. Even till tomorrow, if I go to my mom's place, I will still have devotion. Because she has not changed. If she is in my house, she will gather everybody. We will do devotion. Amen. He is that way. And you see, you must be grateful for that kind of life. I'm serious. I'll say something to you that you should do. How many of you had that attitude of devotion at home? You grew up having such devotion. You know what you're going to do when you leave here this evening? Before you sleep tonight, call your parents. Tell your mom thank you. They might not know what they were doing, but that is the foundation to a Christian life. Tell them thank you. I see my man. I might not have seen you then, but now I appreciate you for it. Amen. Tell them you appreciate them. That your pastor said, you should say to them that you appreciate them. I'm telling you, because it's a lifestyle. Amen. Because many times people now rebel against it and then not now train their children to have devotion, their children become wayward. There's no that pattern again. People know now wake up anyhow. Amen. You don't know that people wake up anyhow these days. Just wake up anyhow. Glory to God. Amen. Let's put the finishing touch to this now, so close. Now in Mark 1:35, look at Jesus. Mark 1:35. Are you there? Mark 1:35. He says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place to pray and prayed. Watch what it is. He says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, great while before day look like it's like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Just that, just like chain prayer time. Just that 2 a.m. Jesus rose to go and pray. Amen. He rose to go and pray 2 a.m. Doesn't that sound lovely? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. In Luke 6, verse 12. Luke 6, verse 12. He said, and it came to pass in those days that he went up into the mountain and prayed and continued all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. He continued all night to pray from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So how he started his day, was with prayer. You see that? Jesus started his day with prayer. His day with prayer. That's what morning devotion is. How you start is important. How you start is very important. How you start your day shows what you honor. How you start your day shows what you honor. Some people wake up in the morning and wake up to their idol, their phones. You wake up in the morning and then you are checking your WhatsApp. You are checking the messages that drop. To wake up to message, it shows that it's an idol. Amen. How can you wake up and the first thing you get to take a hold of is your phone? The fact that you get taken hold of is an idol. No, you should wake up to pray. Obey the enemy. So, just like Jesus, I should wake up to pray. So what I do first thing when I wake up is important. He shows what I honor. He shows what I reverence. Hallelujah. He shows what I honor. He shows what I reverence. Hallelujah. So a believer who says it doesn't matter, what you wake up to, is a believer that doesn't have honor in his heart. So no, we preach honor, we talk about honor. You must honor the Lord with what you wake up to do in the morning. I will show you that. Look at Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Let's see something about Abraham. Genesis 19. Look at what it means. Verses 26 to 27. It says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, he is talking about in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So that morning, he stood up to the place where he was before the Lord. What would he stand up to do? Now, what the writer have done, who happened to be Moses, what he has done was to show you before now in chapter 18 what Abraham did before the presence of the Lord. What did he do before, when he stood before the Lord? He was interceding in that same location. He was interceding for Sodom. He was praying. So rather than going back to write as he prayed, he would not say he rose in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. What was he doing? Praying. Did you see that? So Abraham woke early in the morning to pray. To pray. And then he saw the city that it has been destroyed. To pray. In Genesis 22, verses 2, and he said, this is the Lord, he says, take now thy son, thy only child, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get him to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass. So Abraham received instructions from the Lord. What did he do? Early in the morning, he went about it. Amen. Amen. So it shows honor. The Lord spoke to him. Early in the morning, he went about. Honor. Amen. So what you do first is important. Abraham woke up to carry out the assignment of the Lord. Early. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Exodus 28, just a few chapters after. You'll find Jacob, and he had a vision from verses 12. I would skip verse 12, but this was when he had a vision about a ladder that the top reached up to heaven, and the Lord stood above it. In verse 18, look at it. Of verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the house of the Lord. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob, in verse 18, rose up early in the morning and took stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Did you see that? He rose early in the morning. He had a vision. He rose early in the morning and then he worshipped. Did you see that? He worshipped. He worshipped the Lord. So, when is the glory to God? When you set up time for your devotion, it's important. Don't say, I will do it later on. No. Start your day the right way. Hallelujah. You have to start your day the right way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what the psalmist will say in Psalm 63. I want to jump down to Psalm 63 and then we'll go back. Psalm 63, verses 1. Hallelujah. Are you Psalm 63? I'll read verse 1. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh long for thee. In the dry and thirsty land where no water is. You say, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. Did you see that? You seek God early. You seek God early. You also have that also. To seek God early, Exodus 8:20, Exodus 9:13, God will speak to Moses and tell him to go to Pharaoh early. But let's see something. When Lord, the children of Israel were supposed to be priests, right? A kingdom of priesthood. So therefore, they were supposed to offer to God sacrifices early. But let's see what they did. In Exodus 32, when they made a golden calf, an idol, what did they do? Look at verse 5. It says, and Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, right? And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And he was serving what? Idols. Remember in verse 4, he had told them that was the idol that brought them, and that was God that brought them out of Egypt. How should I put it? Is it Pisporos, or how do they call it again? Pisporos, how do they even call that English? Nonsense. I mean, it's your destiny for me. Aaron saw how God delivered them from the gods of Egypt. And he heard, when God said he was not liking any other thing to him, he heard in Exodus 20, when God said, you shall serve no other image. You shall make no other image. You shall serve no other God. Don't make any graven image. Yes, he made a golden calf. And so that was not enough. He said that was what brought him out of Egypt. He now said, tomorrow is a feast. Now let's see the next day that was a feast. By six, and they rose up early. Now did you know, if you put it side by side, the feast that the Lord had given to them, that Moses wrote to them concerning, they were to observe it from early in the morning. So what did they do now? They now rose up early on the morning and offered burnt offering and burnt peace offering, and they put sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play idol. You see that? Idol worship. So that means it was to show of this honor to God. And what did God do in verse 7? God said to Moses, go down quickly. This honor. So that means what you wake up to is important. What you wake up to is important. What a believer wakes up to is very important. Hallelujah. I close there. No, we'll continue this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the place of the believer, the place of the believer, okay, alright, we'll look at, you can also read 1 Samuel 1:19 before I close. 1 Samuel 1:19. Anna needed a child and she went to the Lord early to pray. Early, you read that. Hallelujah. Job, when he was to offer sacrifice in Job 1:5, offered it early in the morning. So it was a custom for them to serve the Lord first, early in the morning. So the first thing they do in the morning is to serve the Lord. You wake up to serve the Lord. That's why the psalmist will say, I will seek thee early. This is that, I will seek thee early. So the timing is important. The timing is important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for us as a church, and for the believers, rising early and praying is important.
Also, we wake up to morning devotions. When you wake up and then you pray, before you pray, you read sets of scriptures, get to read the devotional. It's important. Devotional, when you have a devotional is just something you read and now you'll be able to put your mind on it for the rest of the day. Right? Right? You say words and then you put it in your mind. We used to have a devotional called Rema Daily Devotional, but we've not been producing it for a while. But what you can do in place of devotionals is to get your teaching notes. You can have your teaching notes and then you review it. Amen. Can review it in the morning. Glory to God. Something you do early. Just run through your teaching notes and then you stay your mind on it. Stay your mind on it. Stay your mind on it. Amen. As a church, we have what we call prayer chain. Prayer chain. You know, then I was part of people that came at devotion, all those devotionals there. The things I've done. The Lord has forgiven me. Anyway, came about devotional. Hey, what is this? Daily manna. You know what is manna? Manna is what is this? So daily what is this? I came at those things. I'm telling you the truth. No, the things I've done. It's God that will forgive me. And I know He has. Anyway, I did some things. Some very, very crazy things. So daily bread. Daily bread. Let's continue. Or is it when you want to study, you should take Rhapsody. This is the wrap-up of everything. But it's well. Hallelujah. It's well, right? Hallelujah. But very vital. We've learned teaching notes is not out of place. The believer should endeavor. We start our day with the Lord. And how that helps is with your chain prayer. We have chain prayers. Take it seriously. Take the chain prayers seriously. Chain prayers. Take it seriously. Hallelujah. Because it's the opportunity. Your local church has given you that, it made it easy for you to have that ability or that access to seek the Lord first, to pray early in the morning. Hallelujah. Before it's 6 a.m., you pray. So that means you can wake up to do your chain prayer by 2 a.m. Amen. 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 Not before 2 a.m. Before 2 a.m. is night. Of 2 a.m. Amen. Yeah. Some people now wait to 12 a.m. And I've done my chain prayer by 12 a.m. The chain prayer means you are waking up early, 2 a.m. Amen. Waking up very early, 2 a.m. to pray. 2 a.m. into 6. Fix the time. 1 hour to pray. 1 hour you start your day. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray. Did you see? If you do it by 2 a.m., wake up by 3. Sleep early. Don't sleep by 12. I want to wake up by 2. You wake up by 7. Or by 5 minutes to 6. Now pray 5 minutes. We'll shout about tea. Amen. Amen. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. You know, there's a point where you start up with alarm. That's when you are starting. But at some point, you need alarm again because you are not accustomed to it. Hope you know that. You just wake up. Even if you sleep around 12, you wake up by that time. Hallelujah. You're just accustomed to that time. Let's build a habit around that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take our prayer chain seriously. I believe the Lord is calling our attention to it. Calling our minds to our prayer chain. Calling our minds back again to devotion. Simple devotion of praying early, rising up early, seeking the Lord early, seeking the Lord early in a place of prayer. Hallelujah. It shows you honor the Lord. It shows you respect Him and you are truly, truly serving Him. Imagine you don't pray, you don't talk to the Lord until when you come back from work. How about you start your day with the Lord. Come back from work, you are with the Lord. How about that? In the course of the day, you are still praying. But you know that you have 1 hour, have 2 hours to give it to the Lord. And then you do more Saturday. Hallelujah. Learn something? Let's thank the Lord quickly.